welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show. This is season 2, episode 20, also known as episode 65. We are chugging along trying to get to our 69th live 69 show. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, just dandy. Sitting here crocheting, so it's like I'm 65 anyway. You know, I just came with theme.
Still drinking milk. That's me.
Although, yeah, I am rocking the beer at least, so.
I'm so jealous. I was told that my iron count, my hemoglobin is too low, so I gotta do healthy.
You gotta get it up?
Yeah, I gotta get it up. I gotta do healthier things to get it up for longer periods of time, so that way I don't have to take supplements to get it up.
There you go.
You know, that happens to some people when they're 65.
As you get older, I hear
it's covered, though, usually by
yeah,
all sorts of health care plans.
Yeah. Damn it, I had to buy my own spinach salad. What the fuck is that?
You should have told your insurance that it just helps you get it up, and then maybe they'll reimburse you
right.
for it.
I wonder what the medical coding, like the ICD-9 code for can't get it up is. I know it exists. Clearly.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
ICD code for...
Erectile dysfunction.
Oh, yeah, hold on. Erectile dysfunction. I was actually wrote out get it up, but yours is probably a little bit better.
Okay. I'll get you to your answer faster.
So it's N. We got an N52.9 over here.
Oh, good.
Yeah, N52.9. So if any of you men out there ever see that on your little code sheet and you don't have a problem getting it up, your doctor may be pulling some kind of scam. In your name.
And you can decide how comfortable you are with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. This has been a very educational first 2 minutes of the broadcast.
As usual.
As usual. What's going on, guys? In the last week since we've recorded, 20 new things have happened with our country. I am 20 times more exhausted. How are you?
I'm good.
I missed half of those things.
Did you really?
Was there another shooting today? What?
Seriously, I know. It's like, at this point, I was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
There was another shooting.
You go to
only 5 dead this time.
In a school, though.
When did this happen? It's like, Jesus, you go to work and you're in therapy for 45 minutes and you miss this stuff.
That's okay. Yeah. I missed the junior tweeting his correspondence with WikiLeaks thing yesterday. I had no idea. And then I went online and saw comments and I was like, wait, what happened? I thought we were focusing on it being okay to make 14-year-olds touch your dick as long as you ask their mom. Like, when did we move on to WikiLeaks?
What? What is that thing? Oh my God, there's too much, guys. There's too much to keep track of.
Google Roy Moore.
He's the worst.
There's a lot going on with that behind that cowboy hat.
I'm just like,
and none of it is good.
Right. He's a horrible human being. He should not be a representative to the federal government. Yes. End of story.
But I did hear today that Rush Limbaugh said he was a Democrat all those years ago when he attempted to rape that 16-year-old. So it's cool. Anybody that wanted to vote for him that's not,
right,
you're good.
In that case.
All right.
I saw that too, and I was like, there are these times where you're like, how stupid are, like, this is what is the, wait, so what are you saying here? Like, what is the logic?
But then, whatever. Okay, we're not going to get a...
Are you saying that?
Please, right, keep
so
me away from this.
He was a Democrat at the time, so that means Democrats are bad? Or he was a Democrat at the time, so it's okay because now he's... Like, what? Like,
no, he meant Democrats are bad.
Ding, ding, ding. It's, right. I know you are, but what am I?
Right.
Okay,
and that's just it. Like, nobody cares if it's a Republican or a Democrat. We're saying the behavior is not okay.
Well, no.
And I think that's a problem.
Nobody that doesn't live in that portion of Alabama, like, they care. The rest of us, we don't. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to get into it because my God, you heard me last week. I went to unhappy places. It took me a full week. It literally took me until today to get back. I had to, like, have a internet, like, freeze yesterday for part of the day and for part of the day today. Like, I was, like, my bad place. Like, I brought back everything when I was re-editing. I listened to it 4 times and was like, I sound like a fucking crazy person. How can I just edit out whenever I talk? And then I was in a better place today, so I can't go back there. I'm just gonna hey,
you're drinking
talk
a glass
about
of
it.
Milk.
I'm gonna tiptoe out of the room for a minute.
You're drinking a glass of milk. The world is fun.
That's true, and I don't
nothing
have
that can happen when you're drinking ice cold milk.
And I don't have a ICD-9 code N52.9. So really.
And neither does Jay.
It's all working over here. Speaking of Jay. So I don't know if anybody out there listens to the Ramblecast, but he bought a fucking Tron arcade game without telling me.
Where does it go? Like, where is it living?
It's living as far away from possible as from where I generally habitate in this house.
So, Colleen, I heard a little bit about this, but not from the Ramblecast.
From Nick?
From Nick when I met him in person, to be elaborated on later. Tell
your
story.
Oh, good segue!
No big deal. I had a really good weekend. Anyway, but keep going. Tron.
So whatever. Like, I will listen to you for like as long as possible, but then we're going to talk about me. So like, okay.
No, I don't.
No, but I saw the picture that he posted online today, and I was like, I probably shouldn't like this because I don't want to piss off Colleen.
I was so bothered by the fact that this entered my home and I didn't find out about it for 3 weeks. And how much
it
cost.
Has it been in your house for 3 weeks?
No, it has not. It got delivered yesterday, but I found out a
but it was
week
purchased
ago,
3 weeks ago.
That it, a week ago that it had been purchased like 3 weeks prior, and it was one of those like offhand comments, and I was like, what? I don't even know how it came up, and I was like, did you buy something? And it was like, no. And I was like, no, seriously, did you buy something? So I'm going through all the lists, and I'm like, did you buy this? Did you buy that? And I was just like, what the fuck did you buy? And then he was like, it's something that I really like to play when we go to Boxcar. And I was, and it's not there anymore. And then I was like, oh, you bought Tron, didn't you? And then I found out how much it cost. And then I had a heart attack. And then I found out how much was due on delivery for the cash on delivery. And I was like, that comes out of your fucking bank account. That does not, I'm not touching that. You're not, you better go there. You better get your own cash because you're not, I was a little upset. I was up at 2:30 in the morning thinking about how mad I was about it this morning, actually.
Oh no.
Well, that and how our country is crazy, but all sorts of things. But the Tron was definitely the thing that like woke me up at first, because then I went to pee and then I checked like Instagram and I saw the picture and I was like, I'm curious about this.
I'm so glad I didn't like it.
I think I did. I just assumed like if you're gonna own that, you probably got a good deal on it.
He did. Apparently, as we'll find out later in the show, Mike came down to run the Raleigh Marathon and he stayed with us. And we took him on all our fun little weekend trips to like Costco and Target and stuff. So we told him about it in the middle of Costco. And he was like, that's a really good price. And I was like, you shut your fucking mouth.
Well, but here's a question. Do you guys have like your money, my money, and our money?
Sort of.
Because, yeah, like this would definitely, particularly like if you're going to make a huge purchase and not tell your spouse, it should come out of your money. Like it shouldn't be our money.
Well, it did come out of his, but the money that was used to pay for it was money that would have gone into the joint account. It came out of that quicker. And I kind of, oh, that's how it came up. Because I was like, why did you move X amount of dollars over? And it was like, oh, to pay something on my credit card. And I was like, you're right. That's exactly how it started. And I was like, I'm sorry, excuse me, what? So anyway, for the record, still mad about this thing. I never went nuclear. I never freaked out. Even today, I was like on GChat. I was like, I just want you to know again that it was really fucked up that you got the Tron thing without telling me. And he was like, you're right.
That's
that was
progress.
Fucked up.
That's
and I was
good.
Like, fucked
I'm
up
proud
enough
of
to
you.
Return it? No. Okay. Still in my house.
And on Instagram.
Well, at least now when Zach gets older,
no.
You're going to be the house that like the kids are going to want to come over.
Oh, which is
no.
Even worse.
You're going to know what they're up to. You're going to be able to keep an eye on things. It's way better to have shit go down in your house than someone else's house and
yes.
You don't know what's going on.
Totally.
This is all going to be better.
Yeah.
Plus, the kids always trust the parent whose house they're hanging out at.
Okay.
So I think you've set yourself up for good stuff.
I don't know if any of you have ever met my husband, but he has a collectibles problem. So I don't want this to be the start of there being a collection of arcade games in my basement,
which is a legitimate
concern that I have.
Charge the neighborhood kids money.
Yes. So if anybody out there doesn't know, the story that I got it was, and I don't know what the real story is, if this is the real story or not, but the story that I got it, the I asked her mother for permission story was that it was a cheap price. It was like a really good price. Apparently it was like half of what they usually sell for, like less than half of what they usually sell for. So he decided to lowball them with a buy it now offer because it was like, you know, purchase price or best offer. And then once they accepted it, he tried to cancel this order. But if he canceled it, it would have counted negative against his like eBay rating. And then he wouldn't have been able to buy other things. So then he was all of a sudden stuck with this.
Right. Sounds like he got himself pretty knowingly into that mess.
Like, quote unquote, stuck with this.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh, darn, my plan worked.
Yeah.
And now I can't.
Really? I didn't expect any of this to happen this way.
Right. I really forced my hand there.
Yeah.
My own hand.
So, yeah. Not her hand.
That he had consent for.
Yes.
Yeah, it was definitely a one-handed job.
Which it will be for a while now because I'm that mad. Anyways, you met Nick.
Yeah, I was gonna say, can we just talk about my really awesome weekend, please?
No, I was going to say, Jay should have been hanging out with us over the weekend because I met Nick and we ended up, we went to a couple of places, but one of the places that we went was an arcade bar.
And you play Tron.
And yeah. I don't know if Tron was there, but really cool. The game Dig Dug from
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things was there, yeah. And I walked by it and I like kind of did a double take. Because I've never been into any of those games. Like, I don't know those games. I certainly didn't know when I watched Stranger Things, but all of a sudden it was like on my radar and it was right there. It was really cool.
That is
like,
cool.
Oh, wow. This is real. This is a real game.
A real thing. Yeah, which makes it like extra cool, actually. Like, that it's like a real game that the brothers or whatever, like, really used to play, like, back in the day. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have, but, so they're originally from Raleigh Durham area. They're from Durham. And they have little Easter eggs for the area hidden in the show.
Oh, nice. Hmm.
So, which very I think they cool. talk about on Stranger Things with Jay, Jack, and Mike. So
they did. I just listened to that episode today.
Yeah. So I
won't... Awesome.
Anyway, cool.
Okay, anyway. Cool. So you met Nick. How was that?
So I went to LA. I had Friday off for Veterans Day. So I went to LA for the long weekend. And on Friday, like, we were planning on going to a brewery, like, in the downtown area that Frank had wanted to go to. And so I contacted Nick, and it just so happened that he was able to meet up. So we went out and, like, actually met in person, which is, like, getting less and less weird the more people that I meet in mm-hmm. person through podcasting. But it was really cool. And, like, he was really fun to talk to. And I think my favorite part of the whole, like, evening and interactions was, like, Frank, like, really likes Nick. And he was like, he like wants to get his number and like go hang out. And they like, I like facilitated their exchange of numbers. And like, they might like, I don't know, get together for a beer, like go to a concert. I was like,
that's super cute.
Yeah, it's good to have friends in your adopted city. That's awesome.
Yes.
Nick was telling me today that he asked a coworker to go to a Guns N' Roses concert with him. Mm-hmm. And she actually responded with, "Who are they?"
What? No.
So if Frank likes Guns N' Roses and knows who they are,
well, he certainly
doesn't
knows
even
who
have
they
to like know who they are.
Yeah.
Right. Damn. Yeah. No. So we'll see if they. I like really want them to hang out now, just like the two of them. I think this is so fucking adorable.
That is adorable. I love things.
It like made that. Me really happy.
Somewhere, Tim's like slash fiction radar is going off real bad. Like, when
are you sure it's not my slash?
That too. Know what it means. So slash fiction is when you group two people together of the same sex in like fan fiction, like you couple them together.
Okay.
It's just when,
but it's usually same sex.
Same sex, like
you queer it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Like you put you know, you put Harry and Draco together, or like Sam and
Frodo.
Right. Okay. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was Friday. So that was really fun. And then on Saturday, we went to Universal Studios and we went to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, and it was amazing.
So fun.
Just like super cool. I've been to Disneyland quite a few times, but I've never been to Universal Studios. So that was super fun. And we went over the summer when we had guests, we went to Warner Brothers Studios. And that was really cool because like, I feel like at Warner Brothers, like it was really just like the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we like took more time to like stop and like walk around and like take pictures at the Gilmore Girls gazebo and like stuff like that, and like actually walk through like some of the buildings. And there were, I guess there were just like more shows that I knew or that I had actually watched that were filmed there. So that was really cool. But then Universal, I was like super, super excited about Harry Potter. So that was cool. And some of the other stuff, like we did the tour and that was cool. I can't remember, trying to think of what we even saw. The problem is there's so many movies that I haven't seen. So some of it was like, okay, like whatever movie was filmed here, but like I haven't seen it. Even like we saw some of the set for Jaws, which like I've seen Jaws, but like what, you know, when I was like five,
yeah,
or whatever, like, right. I don't actually really remember it. So it was still cool. The Harry Potter stuff was really fun. And you can get like a couple of different kinds of passes. We just got the normal one because it was like $80 extra dollars per person when you've already dropped like $100 to get in.
Yeah,
you can,
so cheap.
You can get this front of the line pass where you can skip to the front of the line.
Oh yeah, we did that.
For all the stuff.
We did,
yeah, yeah, Disney has that, like the fast pass stuff. Six Flags does it too, I think.
This is
really smart.
Yeah.
Because we did fast pass, if I remember
Florida.
Correctly. Nice. Yeah. For fast pass, if I'm remembering correctly, it's like you like stop by and you get a thing and it tells you to come back in like an hour or something. So definitely, if you like plan really well, you can.
Yeah.
But this is, you can just go to any one of the attractions and you have a separate line for the people with this pass. So anyway, it's like $79 or $80 for like additional per person.
Mm-hmm.
So originally I was like, oh, it'll be fine. Like we don't need that, whatever. Then we got there and we waited in line for like an hour for the studio tour. And after that, we were just like looking at the time, and like for Harry Potter, there was 140 minutes wait.
Ooh.
So it was just like, we're,
that's like 3 hours.
Yeah. Like I just can't do that. Like that's
sometimes
just
it's worth it.
Yeah. So it turns out we're like,
go in the middle of the year where no one's there.
Well, yeah. Or in Shandy's case, it's why the phrase treat yourself was invented.
Yeah, or you spend the money. Yeah.
Yes. No, so we got out of the studio tour and it was like 2 or 2:30 in the afternoon. And so I don't know if it was like a time of day thing or what, but we were like, okay, let's see if we can upgrade. So not only could we upgrade, but they also had this thing where if you're just going to go on each thing once, you can get the pass for $45 each. So I was like, okay, that's like significantly cheaper and we don't need to really do anything more than once. So we got that pass and then saw literally everything there and a couple of the shows too. So that was really cool. And then towards the end of the day, we were like, oh my God, the Harry Potter thing was so cool. Like the Harry Potter's Forbidden Ride or whatever it was called.
The one that's like in the Hogwarts. Yeah. Then you like, you ride on the thing and your feet are kind of dangling.
Yes. It's super cool. That was our favorite ride by far. And we're like, okay, we'll wait sort of towards the end of the day and see if the line goes down. Cause we'd already used ours once and like they scan them and everything. But so we like, we go, it's like, it says there's a little bit of a wait, but we're like, okay, let's go try. It'll be like the last thing that we do. And the line was actually super fast. So we got to go through one more time. And then the ride, for some reason, stopped, like, right before it was over, because they had to, like, I don't know, clear something off, or I'm not really sure. But so when we got off, they were like, we're so sorry, like, go through again. And they let us go right back into the, like, line where they were putting people on again. So we got to go again a third time.
Did it three times.
And then we got
a fourth time. Oh, my gosh.
We got to go a fourth time. Then after that, it's like we thought the park was closing, but it was like open a half an hour more and there was like almost nobody left. And so we're like, okay, let's just try this one more time. Like nobody's around. So we went a fourth time. Oh, and
my God. Oh my God.
Well, which time was your favorite?
Four probably times. The first one.
In a row?
Well, they were spaced out.
No, I'm just kidding. N52.9 problems
nope.
there.
Nope. So that was super fun. Like, it was just, it was pretty magical. It was so cool to walk around Hogsmeade. And we didn't actually, like, do any of the restaurants or anything because, like, we were on a mission. We did, you know, all the attractions. So if we ever go back, I would like to just, like, chill. Like, we looked in some of the shops and we did, they have a little thing in Ollivander's.
Yeah.
That was really cool because, like, they, you know, they take you in with a little group.
The wine demonstration thing?
Yes. And there's a woman who, like, is basically plays the role of Ollivander and had, you know, one person come up and, like, do the, you know, the wand demonstration. They have, like, plants and stuff, like, in that room that react to her, the person, like, you know, trying to find the wand that chooses her. But what was really cool was that it was this teenager. She was probably, like, maybe 14, 15 or something. And when she walked in, the person, like, called her out by name and had her come up. So I'm sure her parents talked to her, but it was kind of spooky. Like, oh my God, how did you know that? And, like, she was surprised and everyone was surprised. So a little bit magical, but she, you know, she did the wand thing and she got to be sort of the star of that show. And then at the end, the woman who was working there, like, wished her a happy birthday and everything. So it turned out to be her birthday. And, like, this was a special thing that she was, like, almost in tears. It was super cute.
Oh, but Yeah, I've never done the Ollivander's because it's like I've been to the one in Orlando a few times and, like, the line was always like that was always the longest line was the freaking.
Huh. Yes.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, for what it is, like, I can't be bothered. But it sounds like it was cool.
It was cool. I mean, go towards the end of the day, maybe. And yeah, the line goes down.
We did it. I think we made my sister's boyfriend at the time wait because I went with my sister's and Caitlin's ex-boyfriend and. The Ollivander's thing was super long and crowded, but we ended up doing it because we were like, man, that's not a Harry Potter fan. Wait here. Hold our purses while you're at it.
Right. Yeah. No, it was cool. It was one of the ones where you couldn't use the front of the line thing.
Yeah.
But we waited till towards the end of the day and then we hardly waited in line at all. So it was fun. I was surprised, at how many people in Universal Studios just in general came in full on Harry Potter robes and garb and everything.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was like quite a significant amount of people. And there was another person who was there for her birthday and, like, she had a t-shirt on. It was like Harry Potter stuff on the front and then on the back in, like, the Harry Potter script. You know, the one that kind of looks like a lightning bolt, like in the movies and stuff.
It said
something about how it was her birthday. And then everyone who was with her had the same shirt, but on the back of their shirt, it was written, like, you know, so-and-so's birthday crew. Like,
that is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Super fun. I mean, and she was probably like, I don't know, like 10 or something. Just like a really, like, her parents. I mean, that's an expensive birthday, but they really hit it out of the ballpark there.
Yeah. Damn. Those parents really committed themselves to a lifelong of having to top that every year.
Right. Seriously.
Well, yeah. Maybe it's just, you know, the even birthdays.
Yeah. Who knows? And yeah, maybe it was some other occasion.
It's like
too,
10. But I feel like 10's kind of a big birthday. It's like now you're officially in double digits, like go a little bigger, like 15, 16.
My 10th birthday presents were a Swiss Army knife from my dad and a nameplate necklace from my mom. Well, I guess it was both of them paid for both of them. So it was from both of them, but you know what I mean?
I would say I'm surprised that you remember that, but then I think about what I'm saying and no, I'm not surprised that you remember.
I had that Swiss Army knife until it got confiscated on August 4th, 2007 at LaGuardia while I was
going. I remember that.
Yeah. I remember that same Swiss Army knife. With the a yarn lanyard that I made myself out of rainbow colored yarn growing up, so I'd never lose it.
Nice. Ooh. Until they take it away from you.
Until they take it away from you at airport security.
Yeah, these things happen.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, sorry, Shandy.
That's it.
Take that detour down memory lane.
Memory lane. Sad memories. Amanda, do you have anything going on?
Oh, what did I do? I went down to New Jersey this weekend. Our friend Allison built a house down there, and I was supposed to go a few weekends ago, but then I had my little kidney issue, so I had to bail. But they had a bunch of people over this weekend, so I was finally able to go. It was lovely. Good. They are really freaking far. They're like all the way near Trenton, which is like way at the bottom of New Jersey, like almost near Philadelphia. So it was a bit of a hike. But yeah, it was really beautiful. They live like kind of out in farm country in like this brand new development that's like being built up. And they took us to this really cool little brewery that's on a family farm. And it's just like the son started brewing beer, and they have like a few little chairs and tables set up outside. And you can like go and get your like flights and things. And they were saying how like they were buying like a plot of farmland down the road, and they were going to open up a bigger place. And it just, the whole weekend felt very like suburban and fun. But that was, yeah, that's kind of all I've been doing.
That's cool though. This week.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Daniel and I on Friday went to a dance party. We pretended like we were like 7 years younger. And we went to Williamsburg to like a DJ night. It was like 2007, 2008. I don't even know what you call that type of music, but it's like LCD sound system and that sort of like pop rock synth music.
Yeah,
which he likes a lot more than I do. I was like, I don't know, this is just not really my thing, but but you know, dancing is always fun, and it's always nice to pretend like you're not an old person.
I would love to go dancing one of these nights. I realize that we're fast approaching the age where we'll definitely look like we don't belong with some of the people that go out clubbing now, but I would love to just do that one more time.
Right. Oh, and to make us feel like really like super old people, we showed up before the doors opened.
No.
Like it opened at 10 and we definitely like rolled up at like 9:50 and walked in, and like I wish you could see the face that the woman that was like doing the check-in like made at us. Like we were just like the dumbest dummies to ever walk the face of the earth. Like a literally like, what are you doing here? And I don't mean like in this space. I mean like on the planet.
Oh my God. That's like old person showing up to church an hour early.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's like we had to like go to a bar and like hang out for like half an hour. So we're like, we can't go back right at 10. We have to like go back late. So we came back at like 10:35, like 10:40.
Oh my God.
But yeah.
That's all. Okay, that's really awesome. You guys did way more cool things than I did this weekend, which was nothing. Before we move on to our feedback, because we got a ton of it, I want to pose the question to find out, to make me feel better. Did anybody out there's significant other do something as bad as buy a video arcade game? I'm hearing it being played outside right now, and it's making me angry again. So I just want to know.
Man, can you put some headphones in that thing?
It's literally 35 years old. I'm not sure if headphones existed back then.
Yeah, I know they did. It was a joke.
Please let me know. Thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. Oh, did you guys hear about what Cards Against Humanity did?
Vaguely.
Oh, I saw like a headline, but I didn't actually read it. I just like saw Cards Against Humanity pop up.
Okay. So, of course I had it, and then I clicked to close it by accident before when we were talking because I was getting super excited. So here it is. Cards Against Humanity buys a piece of the U.S. border so Trump can't build his wall.
What? How?
The story goes, Cards Against Humanity is back with another stunt, and this time they're taking aim at the company announced its holiday promotion on Tuesday called Cards Against Humanity Saves America. Essentially, the company purchased a plot of vacant land on the border of the United States and Mexico, making it extremely difficult for Trump to build his expensive border wall, which the U.S. taxpayers will inevitably pay for. Their announcement read, "The government is run by a toilet. We have no choice. We are going to save America and attempt to keep our brand relevant in 2017. Join in, and for $15, we'll send you six America saving surprises this December. It's Cards Against Humanity Saves America. Donald Trump is a preposterous golem who is afraid of Mexicans. He's so afraid that he wants to build a $20 billion wall that everyone knows will accomplish nothing. So we've purchased a plot of vacant land on the border and retained a law firm specializing in eminent domain to make it as time-consuming and as expensive as possible for the wall to get built. So the wall
the government
gonna,
is
like,
run by a toilet.
It's going to stop in two different places because they don't own that land.
So the wall is going to have some doors, is what you're saying.
It's going to have to do like a really awkwardly placed fence like around their property.
Right. Oh my God, that's actually really great.
So anyway, check out Cards Against Humanity Saves America.
It's about time I invest in a deck of Cards Against Humanity.
I expect all of you listening out there to bring this in Raleigh, to Raleigh in May. JP, I'm talking to you, especially. Yeah. So
they've got a Harry Potter theme one. It's like Muggles Against Humanity or something.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's the same. It might not be Cards Against Humanity. It might be like a copycat brand. But
cool.
It always pops up on my Instagram, like in like my... the little ad section. I was like, oh, I should get that for someone for gifts.
Let's see.
They know you so well.
They do. Oh, that Target marketing. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Your brother's
looks like
always watching.
Harry Potter themed Cards Against Humanity. I don't know. You can look it up. It's there. Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing that exists.
Now I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Oh, gee.
Do you own any of them yet?
I own none of them.
Oh, fabulous.
Although today I did get a Midsummer Murders Clue game.
Ooh.
I was in a meeting and I came back to my desk and it was there. For anyone who doesn't know, Midsummer Murders is a British crime series that many local public television stations here in the U.S. carry. And my coworker went to a big American public television conference last week and brought back all this swag and like was handing it out. And that's what I got. So I don't know what I'm going to do with this game.
Bring it to Rome in May. We'll figure it out. Also, are we making, like, really super cool, dorky shirts for May?
We can.
Like, for anybody who wants them?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Cool. Okay. Just wondering. So when we go to the barcade, we can all be matching in broadcast shirts.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'll think
about
it.
I'm all for it.
Okay. Fantastic. And they have
I still
to
have
like...
my dignity, guys. I went to a Williamsburg dance party this weekend. I still
you
have
showed up early. Fantastic. Okay, cool. Oh, and remember we were talking about spam the other... Not spam. Bots. Like the...
Thoughts?
Bots. Like the Russian bots.
Bots. Mm.
So sure. I came across a website the other day, and I've been saving it in my browser because I wanted to let you guys know. So it's called botcheck.me, and it detects and tracks like Twitter propaganda.
Mm.
And it's based on the last... So it's based on the last 24 hours of a random sampling of 1,500 political propaganda bots. So you can, like, test out any, like, Twitter handle, and it will tell you if it is having bot-like behavior.
Wow.
So...
Wow, that's actually really useful.
See? Mm-hmm. So it's not a huge, like, sampling, because it only gives you the last 24 hours of what's been talked about. But I guess you don't really need much more than that if they're spewing the latest. And
right.
Like,
right.
So
you just want to confirm if something is valid or not.
Yes. The top searches for today is at Real Donald Trump, at Sean Hannity, at Real James Woods, at POTUS, at Keurig, and at Mitchell the 7th. I don't know who that is.
Wait, at Keurig? Why Keurig?
Amanda, that because... was like four issues ago.
I don't know. I don't Keurig. They weird me out. I don't trust them.
I know that they're terrible for the environment, but I love them and refuse to apologize for that. So Keurig, so Sean Hannity, he sort of freaked out when the Roy Moore stuff started on Thursday. And essentially he was like making excuses and apologizing, and they've been like victim bashing and all that stuff. But whatever he said, it came across as very like molester apologizing. So Keurig pulled their sponsorship and then all of the people who are Sean Hannity fans decided to office-style smash their Keurigs that they already paid for, so now they have to go buy new coffee machines. So,
yeah, seriously, like, who is that hurting? Everyone is stupid.
I know.
Again,
my first thought was like, but now you have no coffee pot. Like, yeah. Nothing to make coffee.
Good job, asshole. You only hurt yourself.
That's literally the worst. I can't imagine not having anything to make coffee in the morning.
You did this to yourself. Again, it's the whole like,
yes.
I'll show them.
So anyway, botcheck.me I'm going to close this tab now. Whew. All right. I feel better already. Like a weight's been lifted.
How long did you keep that open for?
Since like Saturday.
Oh my God. That would give me a heart attack.
I know. It's been giving me a heart attack. I've been just randomly sliding it around on the top of the screen.
Oh no.
So it doesn't.
So wait,
look like
is there an insurance code for that? If you have a tab open for 4 days or longer,
maybe. Call a doctor. Go to the ER.
Oh my God, I wonder. so what would that be?
Inability to close
to
tab.
To let something go.
Yeah.
Cyber Ooh. Fixation.
I like obsessively close out of Chrome like all the time. And have to, and also like shut down my computer.
Not me.
I do it a lot at work. Like I'll log on to like our like edit drives, and then I will X out of them when I'm not done. And just, then I'm like, why did I do that? Now I have to go do the whole thing again. Why did I do that? Same idea though.
Yes. You prematurely.
I prematurely disembark.
So a lot of I just said that really loud. Sorry. So a lot of the times I'll open a bunch of shit at work and I just leave it open because at Chrome you can check your history at home. So I'll just go back and finish reading them at home.
Oh, that's smart.
Kind of like bookmarking really for myself. Totally. I mean, considering I'm definitely having like sensory news overload over the last few weeks, I should probably not do that for a little while. I should probably read a book. Just save my sanity, but no, but that's what I do. Anyway, okay, facey back. We got a bunch. All right, we got a shitload of feedback, guys, so we are going to try to get through what we can get through tonight. Oh, we should do this now, so that way in case anybody closes out when we start to do our housekeepings over the end, Broadsgiving has been changed to November 20th, the Monday instead of the Tuesday, because I'm a dumbass and forgot that I was driving to New York on the 21st. There's that. I know this is a random placement for that announcement, but it is.
All of life is random, so just go with it.
Yeah. So, just in case anybody turns this off, like when we start to thank patrons, and they're like, eh.
Whatever, bullshit patrons.
At that point, though. Okay.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Facey back. Woo! Woo! Dennis said, according to Google Maps, the Raleigh City line cuts right through your neighbor's house, Colleen. So last week I talked about how I'm not in the city of Raleigh and it's like all funky and weird. And he looked it up and it does cut right through my neighbor's house.
It's crazy.
It's kind of weird.
Look at that. It's just right there.
So I guess if something bad happens to her in like half of the house, she can call the cops in the city.
But in the other half, she is on her own.
That's when she calls the Green Arrow. JP says, as much as I enjoy the fun drunk episodes, the serious episodes are always just as great. You three absolutely know how to put together memorable episodes. Thank you. Oh, I'm making a little heart right now.
I know. That really made my day.
I know. Yes. Me too.
Yes.
Thank you. And then Dan had sent in a suggestion for a podcast episode for us to listen to. It's episode 1 of Revisionist History, and it's called The Lady Vanishes. Essentially, it is a story about a painting from the 19th century that a virtually unknown artist painted, and it took England by storm. It's called The Roll Call. After that brilliant first effort, the artist all but disappeared. The Lady Vanishes explores the world of art and politics and examines the strange phenomenon of the token, the outsider whose success serves not to alleviate discrimination but to perpetrate it. If a country elects a female president, does that mean the door is now open for all women to follow? Or does that simply give the status quo the justification to close the door again? Ooh.
Interesting.
That
I'm into it.
Very topical.
Mm-hmm.
So I will check that out. I'm going to add that to my queue. I'll put it in the show notes too. So check that out. All right. But her shemales. First one is from JP. Sexy time commentary. Hi, Broadsters. I wanted to share some sexy time commentary that I heard. Someone I recently dated who did not wind up with a burned tootsie cheek, tootsie cheek had an interesting take on her whoopee noises. What she would do is narrate what we were doing at the moment. Ooh, me on top now. Yes. Ooh, you on top. Yes. Ooh, hot. Edge of the bed. Yes, hot. That sounds like a really bad vagina monologue.
Seriously. Oh, my God. I'm so uncomfortable. I wasn't even there, and I'm uncomfortable.
I hope your mom's listening to this, JP. I caught myself periodically saying back to her, I know, because I couldn't think of how else to respond to any of that. Does that, like, really just kill the moment? Do you, like, just kind of lose steam after a while?
Oh, my God, that would totally take me out of the moment. I'd like, be like, all right, well, this is not happening anymore.
Yeah, all right, well, you finish.
Well, there's a code for that.
Yeah, right? At least I can get a little insurance money out of it.
N52.9. It felt like I was dating the person who somehow always sits behind me in the movies and has to narrate or reiterate scenes to their friends.
That's obnoxious.
Everyone hates that person. Why would you take that? Why would no?
Some examples include, oh, he couldn't fit on that board with her. Ooh, now he's lifting her over his head and spinning. Oh, now the other orphans are singing too. As always, all my best. JP, not from NJ much longer. Soon he'll be JP from VA.
I know.
Or JP in VA.
Mm, I like that.
I'm sure we could make your new town dirty. So just, you know, give us something to work with, JP.
Right. Next up, we have an email from Michael. He says, hey, ladies, wanted to say that last week's look back at Raw and the sexual assault discussion were really quality listening. I made sure to support Second Assault as I did Trickster. Aw, that's nice. And I hope they made their goal. We forgot to mention that Jillian and Amy did make their goal. And not only did they make their goal, but last I checked, they were at like 102%. So
yeah.
Awesome. They have all the funds they need and then some to finish the film right and to cover their festival submission costs and all that stuff, which is everything an independent filmmaker could hope for. So thank you to anyone who listened and felt so inclined to support them and be a part of that. That's just awesome. And I'm so happy for them. Yay. Anyway,
with 1.5 days left as of recording this, they're at 106%.
Yes. Oh, look at that. And they have a matching donor too. I saw that.
Which is awesome.
It's awesome. So that is really, really exciting. Now, back to your previously scheduled email. On another note, I must revisit my least favorite topic of all time, the squatty potty. I may have used one prior to the Raleigh Marathon, and it may have worked well. That's all I have to say about that. Happy Broadsgiving, Michael.
I did leave one in the guest bathroom downstairs.
Nice.
Just in case, you know, you're a good host.
I know. I was I realize you're running 26 and a half miles or whatever, 26 miles.
Yeah. You make sure everything's nice and cleared out before
exactly.
You go.
It's super important.
When Mike was running, we went to watch him at a spot behind the mall that was, you know, kind of an easy spectator spot. And there was this guy and I felt so terrible for him. He clearly did not know about nipple chafing.
Oh, no.
When I say they were, like, bleeding from nipple down to the bottom of the shirt, and it was 21 miles in, I think, or 18. Is it mile 18? Jay was like, we should have taken a picture. I'm sorry. Mike first asked after. He was like, do you get a picture of that guy? And I was like, his dignity is already pretty low at this point.
Right.
It's kind of like weird bragging rights, though, in a way.
Yeah. I mean, like, It was like all
they were raw too.
Well, yeah, they were raw too. Yeah. They were way beyond raw. But anyway, sorry, that's neither here nor there. And dude, if you're listening, power to you because you ran past me with such not giving a fuck in your eyes that you're my hero. Okay. Next up.
So next up, David would like to provide feedback. Dear ladies of the broadcast, David is caught up with the broadcast. David wants you all to know he continues to enjoy the cast and looks forward to it each week. David, too, thinks that the political spectrum is circular. The extremes on both sides meet each other. David feels this is a brilliant analogy. Was it Shandy or Amanda that said it? Regardless, David is impressed.
That for the record, was Shandy.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds too intelligent for something I would say.
It is not something that I thought up myself, for the record. I shouldn't say that. I should just, whatever.
Just take okay. It.
That's what she said. Okay. here ends the third person silliness. He continues, I was flattered that you read my Facebook comment on the language surrounding the issue of sexual assault. The second half of this week's podcast was very interesting. Listening to Jillian recount her story and tell how she was treated by law enforcement at college broke my heart. I'm supporting the documentary. I would like you all to know I'm listening on this issue. I have decided most men, including myself, cannot understand. So I'm listening instead of forming opinions quickly. I value the broadcaster's time spent on the issue as it has affected female members of my family, and I need to understand. Keep talking. I will keep listening.
Thank you.
On the raw topic, I totally understand the fear, anger, and frustration of Trump. President Trump is a narcissistic person devoid of common sense many times who often behaves worse than a petulant three-year-old. However, I would encourage you all to think a bit about the language you use surrounding those who chose to vote for Trump. 62.9 million U.S. citizens voted for Trump. They are not all, or even most, racist, misogynist, nor haters. I found some of the discussion to be elitist and condescending. I am a small government guy, fiscal conservative, libertarian on social issues. I must confess that my general personal loathing for Trump has made me less enthusiastic about his policies, even the ones I do support. During the election, I found both Trump and Hillary to be unacceptable. I cannot simply begin believing in Democratic economics and policies because the GOP candidate is an asshat. American politics are binary, only two real choices. So I voted for the one I hoped would nominate judges I would prefer and the one who might advance some level of conservative economic principles. If you asked each of the 62.9 million why they voted for him, I expect you would get nearly that many answers. The generalizations are hurtful, as generalizations nearly always are. We all need to find ways to talk to each other, not at each other. Here resumes the third person silliness. David thinks the broadcast is his favorite podcast.
Yay! Yeah!
David hopes you will accept his thoughts in the positive, constructive manner he hoped and intended to convey them. David understands that political feelings are often raw. David is looking forward to the live Thanksgiving podcast. David wishes you all a pleasant evening.
Oh my God. I so appreciate that.
The pleasant evening comment? No, I'm just kidding.
All of it. All of it. I feel like that is, if everyone could be so constructive, I feel like we would actually have more meaningful discussions in this crazy ass backwards world we currently live in.
Yes, I appreciate that too. And I do think, I do appreciate the positive constructiveness instead of just him being like, hey, fuck you guys. You're wrong about that. So. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, because that's usually my approach, is telling people that they should go.
That's only my approach when I talk to Nick.
I feel like maybe that should be what the shirt is for May.
Yes.
Hey, Shandy says, go fuck yourself.
Yes.
Like Frankie says, relax. Shandy says, go fuck yourself.
I like that so much.
But that's not what Shandy's saying here.
No, that's not what Shandy's saying here.
I'm not saying that David should go fuck himself. I will say, and this would be an interesting conversation to have in person, because of course this is like, he wrote to us and we're responding back, but yeah. It's still sort of one-sided because he can't respond like in real time.
Right.
But I am a little bit confused personally about the thing about like libertarian on social issues, but wanting a conservative because they're going to elect or for the judges, because I just feel like the judges are going to come down on like not like sort of invading personal.
So my gatherings from
space.
Sometimes being on the opposite side of David in the political oversight group, overflow group rather, sorry, is that he is more of a constitutionalist, where he prefers, his preference in the way that Supreme Court judges are the ones that look to interpret the Constitution versus, which but tend to be the more conservative ones versus.
Isn't that what liberal. All judges are?
So it's.
All judges interpret the Constitution as they see it.
So, yes. But
that's kind of their job.
And, like, the libertarian idea is that, like, you know, like, the government shouldn't be telling you, like, what you can or cannot do. So, like, for example, like, gay marriage should obviously be legal because the government shouldn't be interfering in, you know, to...
Shouldn't be telling you you know, can't.
Right. Same as like abortion should, of course, be legal also because the government shouldn't be invading your body and your womb and, you know, making that decision for you. So I think that for me, like, that's where a lot of libertarians that I know personally in my life, who are my, you know, friends and people that I like and appreciate, that's for me, that's always been sort of the disconnect. Like, and it's not all libertarians are like that either. Like Nick and I talked about this very topic a little bit actually over the weekend. But what I did want to say is that I do understand that generalizations are hurtful. And I do understand that it can be hard to hear me say that people who voted for Trump are racist and bigots. And like, of course, nobody wants to hear that about themselves. And also, like, who am I to be saying that? Like, I can get that. But I think that for me personally, I find that being a part of electing Trump into office for me is kind of an unforgivable offense. Not to say that we can't have a conversation and that, like, somebody can't come back from that. But the problem is, even if a person doesn't identify as like being a racist or a misogynist, which, like, let's be fair, people don't usually, you know, the people who are racist don't usually think that they're racist. And we're all racist to some mm-hmm. extent. We're all sexist to some extent. We just try to actively not be, you know. We've all been socialized in a racist and sexist culture. But I think that for me, even if somebody says, like, okay, well, I voted for him for economic reasons, the problem is that your personal economic reasons, like whether Trump is going to be good for the economy or not, and your situation or not, which also I kind of can't wrap my head around, but that's another discussion. Let's say that even if he was going to be good for your personal economic situation, if you're on board with voting for somebody who's a known racist and a known sexist and a known just like overall terrible person for your own economic situation, then, I mean, like, you're complicit. And I find that
where he says for his own economic situation, I think he just says, I cannot simply begin believing in democratic economics and policies just because the GOP candidate is an asshole. The way I interpreted that sentence, which maybe this makes me interpreting the Constitution differently, is that Democrats historically have one way of looking at, you know, the way that, like, the financial policy mm-hmm. and budgets and taxes should go in America, and Republicans have, or Democrats versus Republicans, conservatives or liberals, however you want to look at it. I'm just going to go with the parties because that's kind of easier. Republicans have another way. You know, it's your classic, like, big government versus small government argument. And I think that he just believes more in the small government Republican kind of principles behind it versus the larger government principles that the Democrats have. And it was hard for him to reconcile to just vote against something that has always been his main belief just because he had that as his.
But then why not vote for the Libertarian candidate whose name is escaping me right now?
Larry Johnson.
Johnson.
Put out there.
You didn't know what a Johnson, Lepo was.
Yeah. Aleppo.
Gary, what is a Lepo Johnson? Yeah. I would honestly argue that's also a little bit complicit. Like, for me,
voting third party?
Yeah, in this election, yes. I mean, we saw this, like, giant, I mean, you can't, like, you know, downplay what a huge catastrophe this is.
I don't think he is.
On every level, right. So, and we saw this coming. So if you had any part in Trump getting elected, then to some extent you are complicit. And that's where I think there needs to be a reckoning. And, like, I'm not saying that I want to stop the conversation. Like, on the contrary, this is why we're having this conversation, but I will not back down from what I said. That's for me, like, even if it is not your personal economic gain. Okay. Even if it's for your, like, global economic outlook, if you're okay with all, like, minority groups and everyone getting shit on and the planet, you know, like, essentially, like, not being protected anymore and all of these things, like, that's putting all of us in danger, especially the most vulnerable, then yeah, you might not think of yourself as a sexist or a racist or anything like that. and you're probably a wonderful person, but you're still complicit.
Okay. I think I kind of already said what I had to say last week when I said that I was trying to differentiate between people who voted for him for whatever their reasons were because they didn't care about the noise because surrounding his ridiculous circus of a campaign, and they just wanted to get things they were more focused on the sort of policies and stuff that really is what we should be looking at when we're focusing on
right of which Trump had none.
Well, exactly, and I think that's kind of I take issue.
It makes me want to pull out my hair. That's what I don't understand,
because there was no policy on his side. I get like voting the Republican Party line, and I'm sure a lot of people did vote that way regardless of who the candidate was, but like whatever your reasons were, it's like we're still in this shitty situation, so it almost doesn't matter.
Right, and that's where it's like, if you are in such a situation where you can, where you don't have to worry about the consequences of a Trump presidency, then like you might need to check your own privilege, and that's where we get like back into this thing about like sexism and racism and all of that stuff. Well, where it's like it's much more subtle than what we think of, and we need to look at like implicit bias, and we need to look at like the less obvious, you know. It's not like having a race problem in the US is not just like the, you know, KKK marching like that. I mean, that's a huge thing, but like that's easy to look at and be like, okay, that's racism. But there are so many other levels and layers of racism that permeate all of our society, and all of that definitely contributed to electing Trump. So it's actions have consequences, and that it was a bad thing to do. And I'm happy if people are coming around on this and changing their mind about him. But I think that it's also okay for me to stand my ground and say, yeah, it is. It's not okay.
Right. Well, and to phrase it in slightly more positive, at least we get to now, we're forced to have these conversations. For better or for worse, like we do have to have a reckoning. And like, I don't know if we would have, you know, like it's all things that we should be discussing. And so like, if there's any silver lining, I think it's that at least we now are being forced to face these things, and people that like don't consider themselves racist or sexist are pressed against a mirror in a way that they probably wouldn't have been if the election went the other way.
So
absolutely.
I'm still going to take the stand that I don't think that everybody that voted for him the first time around is racist and sexist. What I was trying to get at last week is the people who are still defending him as thinking that he's a good president and thinking that, you know, that they're still making excuses are the people that I was kind of saying are still the ones that are still standing with him are still kind of the ones that I feel like are racist and sexist. I appreciate somebody coming forward into the lion's den of us and being like, I voted because of Republican policy, because I understand years of being, you know, having your beliefs, and I understand the people that I don't agree with their vote because I didn't vote that way, but I understand and appreciate it in my opinion. So I take a little bit of a different stance from you guys, and of course that's, I don't know, I wish the people that I knew that voted for him didn't still defend him. Yeah. Weren't still on his
That's
side.
Rough.
So, you know, I appreciate hearing this. This was all that I could have hoped to hear from some of the Trump voters in my life. So I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm cool with the middle. I'm more cool with the middle paragraph of this email than you guys were. But that's just because I'm in a way different, like, situation from, you know, where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that the next email from David doesn't start off at as David thinks the broadcast is his least favorite podcast.
Right. And not to bury the lead. Like, I do super respect the email. It's well constructed. Like, thank you for putting your point across in such a clear and kind way. And I think we're trying to reciprocate as thus, and we might not be succeeding as well.
Jenny says, go fuck yourself.
Sorry. Sorry, but not that doesn't negate the fact that,
well, hey, as he pointed out,
I super respect you.
Political feelings are often raw.
Yeah.
And they are raw. They're just raw for at least the three of us. I'm not going to speak for somebody else in clearly different ways.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's personal, and it's like
it's personal.
Has to do with your values. It has to do with like everything that's sort of like the core of us. And I mean, I know like I probably didn't help in not sounding elitist or condescending in my response to the email. But also at the same time, like I'm just like I'm not willing to lower like what we should be aiming for. So I do, I mean, I apologize, I guess, if that's condescending, but I think we should all be aiming higher. And like when I call out people for being like sexist and racist and stuff, like, I mean, please understand that like I fully understand that I'm also racist. Like I actively try not to be, but we're all,
yeah, we're.
Like I grew up in Montana with a like 99% of white people, you know, and I've lived my life with mostly white people. Like I understand that I have my own implicit biases, and I think that everyone should be like, you know, trying to address that. And again, it's like it's the more subtle stuff that I find to be almost worse than the outright, you know, easy stuff that you can identify.
I a lot of times I run continuing education programs at work, and last Thursday we did one on implicit bias, and there's actually a website you can go to that has a series of different tests, and it will actually, it's to help you determine what your own implicit biases are.
Biases.
I think it's biases.
Biases.
I did it like a month ago. See, you guys are also, you know, admitting all, like that you. I'm not even going to talk about what my test said. They start off really easy, but then they get really fucking hard. Like it's like different, like different. You know, you take around different rounds, and by the last round, you're like, oh my god, I can't even keep this straight. Okay, I hate everybody. But
arguably, that is not racist because you hate everybody.
There you go.
So you're treating everybody equally in your hatred of them.
But I will post those as well if I can find the link. I had seen it from a coworker's Facebook page. She had actually taken the class and posted it on there like a month or so ago. And I was like, ooh, I want to do this too. Even though this is scary, actually, facing, you know.
Yeah, facing these about ourselves that we don't necessarily want to know, but I think that that's the first step into actually addressing the problem.
Yes. So, but I will try to find the link. I don't know. I'm hoping it's still in my search history, in my Chrome history, and I will post that in the Facebook group and in the show notes. That's if I can find it. I will give it a look though. So Amanda, Shani, and Colleen wish David a pleasant evening.
Yes, they certainly do.
They do.
And we look forward to seeing you at Live Broadsgiving on November 20th at 9:30 p.m., not November 21st. Okay.
Exactly.
Let's move on to a more happy topic. Guns and Donald Trump. All right, before we move on to our next email, breaking news, guys. There is new NSYNC merchandise coming.
Okay.
So, in a world where Donald Trump is still president, we're getting NSYNC merchandise.
Oh, I want to say bye
to your bank account. To all your money.
To our president.
NSYNC is teaming up with licensing company Epic Rights for a new line of apparel, accessories, gifts, and collectibles. This is super exciting, guys.
Oh, my God.
This is part of NSYNC's 20th anniversary celebration.
I was going to say, voting Trump into office took us back 50 years, but apparently it only took us back 20 years.
Well, that's not so bad. Ba-dum-cha.
So does that mean that bell bottoms and low-rise pants are back in?
Oh, I hope so.
Just gonna be cutting our waistbands out of our pants again.
Oh, I hope so. I hate the new high-waisted trend.
I have a high-waisted relationship with it. Now, I love it on other people, and I desperately want to love it on me, and I just can't.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
I don't have the body shape.
Yeah,
for it.
Same. Now, granted, I have a whole different kind of high-waisted pants going on right now.
Right.
And they are the best.
They're just like a body tight, right? It's just like...
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Anyways, back to those happy topics of guns and Trump.
Hooray. So the first email from John, the UPS guy. Accomplishments of the Orange Man and more guns. Sorry. That is the name of both of the emails. I read good, says the ginger girl. I have the best words. Anyway. Hi, ladies. After listening to the last show, I felt compelled to write in and list all the great things the orange guy has done for our country since he took office. There is a long space of blank. And then...
I believe there are nine. He hit enter nine times.
Nine times. Nine spaces. Thanks. And I always enjoy the podcast. John, the UPS guy. Never creepy.
I'll put a well cricket played, sound sir. Effect in there.
Thank you. Well played, sir. Well played. Second email, the aforementioned more guns portion. Hi, ladies. Again. Another day, another shooting, Northern California. And he sent this to us today,
yes.
I believe. Yes. So
Tuesday the 14th.
Recording.
It could really be any day.
I actually didn't even know this shooting had happened yet. So that's how fresh this is. Another day, another shooting. When does this stop? Does the NRA money mean that much to these politicians? These murders just don't seem to affect the lawmakers. Perhaps if they had had to actually witness the aftermath of just one of these mass shootings, then they might be persuaded to change their minds. They were, and they didn't. Just saying. Probably not. They only see it on TV and are too busy trying to figure out who to screw over next. See, tax breaks for the rich. I can tell you from experience, San Francisco UPS building, to see people dead from being shot full of bullet holes in their chest and a bullet wound directly to the face is terrifying. And that sentence just gave me chills through my entire body. It will stay with my coworkers and myself for the rest of our lives. There have been so many shootings since no one outside of our building even talks about it anymore. Mm. Just think about all the places and people that have experienced shootings. NorCal today, churches, UPS building, first grade, mall, several, movie theaters, high school, softball practice in D.C., Cultural Center, Gabby Giffords, Downtown Dallas, Las Vegas, nightclub, college, fast food restaurant, military base. These are the ones that I think of off the top of my head. The only thing all of these have in common, guns. Seems like an easy fix, right? Well, we are told time and time again after each of these events that it is not the time for talking about it. Will there ever be a time to talk about it? Maybe this country can find its soul and do something about the gun murder situation. Thanks for letting me vent, John the UPS guy. Preach, brother, preach.
Yeah. I think Amanda had a great point last week when you mentioned the New York Times editorial.
Oh, yes. And I don't think I actually linked to it. I think I did. Maybe I will do a make good and I will put it in the notes of this episode. But it's a really great article, and I can't even remember what my good point was about it, other than I think it's a really important read. But it talks about what if we framed the conversation of gun control instead of saying gun control, treating it like a public health issue, a la how we've made cars safer over the 75 years that we have been driving cars. And I just thought it was really fascinating, and it really opened my brain, and I would recommend reading it. But yeah, I think this, Don, you express a lot of exactly how I feel about this situation, and it is really frustrating, and it's easy to feel like you're just banging your head against the same cinder block wall over and over and over again, because these just happen too frequently and too little happens each time. And I personally just feel like a broken record when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I think that I totally agree that we should look at it, frame it more like a public health issue, I think that would be a great start. But I think there are like many factors that go into it. I think we have to kind of get to the bottom of our, like, it's a really insane and psychotic obsession with guns. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not sorry to the people who are gun-toting, you know, Americans. But it is like, it's really, really fucked up. And the fact that we can, as a whole country and a culture, like pretend that it's not fucked up is really worrying. And I think there's a lot of links also with like, there's, you know, toxic masculinity and like why we think we need guns and this idea of individualism that we've been talking about too. And like, so it's like, I'm going to protect myself and I'm going to protect my woman, and I need this to feel better about myself to compensate for my small dick. And I might need to get a prescription for what was the number? Not N.
N52.9.
Like, I think there's a lot tied up there. And I think that it will be something that's very interesting for historians. As long as the planet does survive Donald Trump in the future, you know, like 100, 200 years in the future, I think it'll be something very interesting for anthropologists to look back on and be like, wow, that American society, like, they were so weird. And to like, I would love to see their take on this very unique and just very, very insane obsession. But it's what can we do? It's again, I think like we, I don't know if it's helpful to say, like we were saying last time, that like, I think me and Amanda are both on board for saying like, yeah, we actually do need to talk about taking away your guns. And like, that's actually maybe what we should do. I don't know if that adds fuel to the fire and then it just gets nowhere. But the reverse doesn't, like, having the like quote unquote moderate approach to it hasn't done anything either. So right. Yeah, we need to figure out the money, and we need people that are not bought up. People with souls, like, fuck. Is it that hard to be a good person? So I don't get it.
There was an interesting discussion about this. It was actually very civil. There was a hypothetical in the Political Overflow group, and it started with like children comfortable, parents being comfortable with their children being around guns. Do parents that have guns, whether they're police officers or just people that carry for protection, or have a rifle that they keep locked up that they use in case of home intruders, and it, you know, never, it only comes out once a year to like do a safety check on it. Do they feel, you know, what's the level of comfortable? It was fairly split. Like, some people were like straight up like, no, my husband's a police officer, and I've never, and even though I know he knows what he's doing, I've never felt comfortable with my children being around guns. And somebody else was like, well, you know, why would you have a gun if you're not comfortable at least teaching your children to stay away from it or to be safe with it? And somebody was like, well, it's like 50-50. I know some family members that have guns, and they're completely responsible, sane people, and they use it for hunting or they use it for protection in their house. And I also have family members who have left it laying around while loaded or whatever she was saying. Mm. And, you know, that is somebody that should not own a gun because they're clearly not responsible. So I feel like it's sort of like an issue of like with everybody else. There are some people who are responsible that can actually handle their shit, and there's people out there that are irresponsible that don't need to be owning these things. And how do we kind of reconcile that? Because you're never, when you start out suggesting an extreme, you're never going to get either side, you know, the other side to agree to it, because you wouldn't want to agree to some kind of extreme. So I don't know what the answer is.
Right. But I think the thing that bothers me is that like 93% of gun owners agree with common sense gun control. So it's like something absolutely. We do all agree with. We do all agree that we need to.
I'm not anti-gun control. I mean, cried last week.
Our laws. So like, I just don't understand this manufactured argument that like we're taking your guns away when we all agree, like statistics show the majority of us, no matter which side you are on, agree that we need to have some kind of gun legislation. So
oh,
it
absolutely.
Just,
but
it boggles my mind.
Gun control is very broad because gun control, depending on how you, it's like a phrase you throw out. Some people mean like take all the guns away. Some people mean better checks before you purchase. Some people mean red flags in the system when you have this and this and this factor. So I think we kind of have to focus on what gun control we're kind of looking at, because I think a lot of the propagandists can take such a broad term and then tell their people this is what they mean when they say that.
Right. And I agree. But like, theoretically, to fix a problem, you start at a place of agreement.
Yeah.
That you take all these polarizing sides, you find
totes
where they overlap, and that's where you start. And it's like, we know where we overlap, and we still can't just, we can't move the ball forward. And it just,
Right.
I don't even know what to say because I have said everything I need to say. And it's,
that's why we can't move it forward, because money and propaganda and all of the rest of that stuff. So,
I mean, which is again why we need some people in office with an actual soul. And like, again, it's just not that hard.
We need them to be in the majority.
Right, exactly.
We don't have enough.
Exactly. I promise it's not that hard to be like a baseline decent human being. So there's that. And also, I mean, just like everything, like they use the fear factor of like taking away your guns, because like, yes, I'm sitting here saying like, yes, we should take away the guns. But I think like, I'm like one of 10 people, right? Like that's, we are so conditioned to not say that, that I don't think that's a majority. And even though I think that would be the optimal outcome in a more civilized society, like I understand that it has to come in baby steps. Eventually we can get there though, maybe if we really try hard. But the other thing is that I just think that too, like if your attachment to your like deadly weapon is so great that you need that to feel whatever about yourself, safe or whatever, and that that's more important than all of these people in the country dying, then again, you need to take a look in the mirror.
Don't, but also,
then again,
somebody like my dad having,
look yourself.
Yeah. To the other point, like somebody hashtag like my dad having a hunting rifle that always stayed locked in his closet that I never
hunting
even
is
saw
fine.
It.
Dude, hunting is fine. Like,
but
that
that's
is
still a deadly weapon.
Exactly. Yeah, and how many shootings happened with a shotgun? So it's sort of like, you know, like,
I feel like at this point they're mostly like with like, you know, like military grade rifles. So I'm willing to put hunting in a different category if you actually like hunt for your meat and eat that way. But most people want like pistols and they want them. And they want like a million of them. Well, but even, and they want to like conceal carry them, or they like, it boggles the mind. If that is more important, this thing that like you essentially never use and your little toy is more
so
important to you.
So you're saying,
than,
for lack of a better word, air quotes, punish the few who are responsible for the good of the overall good, which would be.
I'm saying make a joint effort to make our country better. Cool. And if that means that you feel punished because you can't.
Well, punished is the wrong word.
Like, right.
You can't like whip out your gun in your house. Then,
right.
Then again, like, I don't
but
know.
You're
like,
assuming
maybe you
that
do
all gun to, owners want to whip out their guns in their house.
Well, what like, are they? So what do they want to do with them?
Well, exactly.
Like we just said, like hunters want to keep it.
No, but again, like, hunting is different. Like that is an actual activity that you can like sustain yourself with. I'm willing to put that aside.
I know Jay's grandfather, when we stay at their house, they have a giant safe in the bedroom and he has a gun in there. I don't even know what kind it is, but it's for, because they live in the middle of the desert and it's for self-protection. Are
they like use it a lot?
I don't know. I don't think he ever uses it. I think
animals,
it's just
other human beings.
They'll never use it.
Themselves from.
Right. They
or
will never
like,
use it.
Why don't we keep all the guns at like a shooting range? And like,
exactly.
You really like to shoot.
Exactly.
Why don't you just go there?
Exactly.
You know, like why?
100%. Yeah. What do you like? Maybe go. Honestly, like go. I don't know. Go talk to a psychologist or something and figure out like what this attachment is. Why you feel like you need this so much.
Okay.
When it's a huge, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying
we had the talk when we first moved in together. Do we want to get a gun just in case we ever get somebody to break in? And we decided no, because the reason we decided no was that if you ever have a gun, you might actually be forced to use it if somebody does break into your house. And sure, it's a very minuscule possibility that that would ever happen, but we would never want our bluff call to ever have to pull the trigger.
Right. Like to actually like potentially but, end somebody's life because they're trying to steal your TV or have it used against you, which is probably what's going to happen.
All right. Well, once again, Shandy says, go fuck yourself.
Yep. I said, go see a psychologist. Honestly. I mean, honestly.
That's not as catchy of a catchphrase. Yeah. Doesn't really work.
Go help yourself.
Look,
go
if
help.
You own a gun out there and you have an opinion on this, we would love to hear from you. Like, send a nice, constructive, respectful, informative email. And
let's talk.
I'm sure Shandy will tell you to go fuck yourself, but I would love to talk to you.
Yeah, in the most constructive way possible.
In the most constructive way possible.
Why is it a necessity? That's what, please explain to me.
Okay.
So, looking forward to that.
Also, if you see a psychiatrist for other reasons, you can let us know. No, I'm just kidding. Please don't. unless you want to. Thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. Okay, we have a couple more emails, but I think we're going to have to save those. We can finish up with a This Week's in Andy's Virginity update.
We actually have two. So I'm calling it these two last weeks in Andy's Virginity. So Andy starts off last week saying, hey, Brats, to answer the question of what activity was up my alley, it was basically a writing group. Unfortunately, I couldn't stay too long, and what I was around for was basically everyone writing independently. I did not bring anything to write with, but that's okay. There are other meetups like this I may attend, schedule permitting. I have some good news this week. 2 days ago, a new profile piqued my interest. Judging by her profile, she seemed like she'd be compatible with me, and I'm not gonna lie, I thought she looked cute. So I sent her a message tying in with one of her photos. We texted back and forth and seemed to hit it off, so I asked her out. She agreed to after she got back from a wedding she's going to this weekend. So hopefully I can give you a new date story either next week or for the live show. I'm trying not to get my hopes up too far, but I'm feeling optimistic about this one. I leave it at that for this now, since you have a guest this week and there isn't much else to say. Can't wait for this date and to tell you about it. Hashtag I'm with hers. So since we did have a guest last week, we didn't take feedback, but now we have the next part of the story. Hey, ladies. Well, it was nice to have hope about my love life for a couple of days. Uh-oh. Yeah. Shortly after my last update, her profile went offline, which I thought was just her going offline since she was out of town. Yesterday, it looked like she was back, so I messaged her asking how the wedding was, but she didn't respond. Now it looks as though she has blocked me. I'd like to think she hit it off with somebody else and is giving it a go, but it's hard not to take this personally since, yet again, I get blocked and or ignored by someone I wanted to get to know, and I don't know what happened. Of course, I'm the constant in all of these equations, so I'm assuming it's something about me, and maybe I did something that came off the wrong way. Sorry to bring you down after my last email, but I figured I'd give you an update. Hopefully something good comes up before the next show. Hashtag I'm with hers.
Hey, girl that blocked him. Shandy says go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking as I was reading that, I was like, maybe this online dating thing just isn't for you because, I mean, there's like a million reasons, right, that she could have, you know, ended up going offline and then blocking him. And you never get to know because you never know this person except through, you know, this like app. So
right.
Maybe like a different approach that's more in person, that's more like getting to know a friend that you can talk to that then like if anything, you know, doesn't work out, you can actually have a conversation about it. Or not even a conversation, but just like an exchange to know why.
Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, Andy, this is what online dating is for like 99% of people that use online dating. That's how it was for me for a long time and pretty much any other person I've ever commiserated with about online dating. I think because the way it is designed, it is very easy to forget that the people you are conversing with are human beings, not just a picture. And it is very easy to forget your manners and to just stop talking to someone or to like have this sort of something better around the bend mentality. And it's just this really interesting false sense of socialization that these online sites breed. And that's not to say that, like, you can't meet someone, because a lot of people do. But I think this really is a big, big component of it. And it is very frustrating. But if it helps at all to think that, you know, there is some solidarity to it, that a lot of other people have a similar existence and experience, rather, and that it isn't just you, hopefully you can take a little something from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good to know. Not having ever done the online dating thing.
It can be a little soul crushing. It really can. It really can make you feel very insecure about things that you probably are already insecure about. But it does do that for most people, at least myself and my small focus group of my friends. So,
which sucks, because that like feedback to you is coming from people who you don't know and who don't know you. Mm-hmm. And who you've never even met in the flesh, but
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means that their opinions are not important, but I could see how that would be hard to
yeah. Swallow. I think especially as you get a few in a row, it does knock your confidence.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It is common. So it isn't just you, Andy. It's the system.
Yes. But hey, at least you're not dealing with an N52.9.
That's true.
Right. There's that. Yeah. All right. So next week, we have Broadsgiving, November 20th at 9:30 p.m. And I think we have some fun topics lined up. We're going to maybe talk about Stranger Things. Maybe My So-Called Life.
Ooh, okay. Maybe.
Yeah. We'll watch a little bit more of that. I have a brain teaser for everybody that Nick had sent me. I did not get it right. Jay did not get it right when I asked it to him. So I'll see if the masses out there might get it right. You might not want to get it right. I'll just preview that. Let's see. What else? Oh, so we were talking briefly about the iPhone bug and how annoying it is.
Yeah.
It is infuriating. And almost as infuriating as guns, but not quite.
Yeah, not quite. Because there's something I can do about this bug.
Not yet.
Now you know, can rethink how you structure your sentences. We all say true. I
way too many
too
times.
Too much.
Yes.
Way too much.
So
it's just the universe trying to get you to think a little more inclusively.
Yes. I did I want you to say we instead of I. Yep. The universe is a liberal,
bringing the royal
everybody.
We back.
But yeah, I also had the Colleen also. See, wants you to talk in the third person. Colleen also had the issue with it. I was able to do the update. I think it was on Friday. But Colleen was also trying to figure out creative ways not to use the first person word I. So good luck, everybody out there.
Yep. I mean, I think like it's actually kind of an interesting coincidence, because I've been noticing lately that, I mean, I do this too. It's like a thing that's happening in language. And I feel like it's becoming more prevalent recently, where a lot of times we will cut off the I part of a sentence, but just keep the rest, start with the verb. Like, for example, I literally just opened Facebook and the first person's update that I'm seeing is just shook Owen Wilson's hand, right? So it's saying something like that.
I just shook.
Yeah. Just notice it. I'm sure you guys do it too. I do it all the time.
Interesting.
But yeah, I wonder if that part of that comes from when the wall feed of Facebook originally began. When you write something,
that actually
it was always like your name. So that's how you would structure the sentence. So it wouldn't be like, you know, like Amanda.
Yeah. Oh, my time hop reminds me of that all the time.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's where it began.
It's been 6 years since that. But
When we all used to speak in third person on Facebook.
Yes.
Facebook forced us to be really, really proper.
But did it ask our mom's permission first?
I don't think it did. What a jerk. What a perv.
No. Shandy, should we finish out with the story real quick of one of our friends told us yesterday?
Yes.
Do you want to tell it, or do you want me to?
I think you should take it away.
Okay, so
I'll sign while you're saying it.
Okay.
Too bad. This could have been a Broadsgiving thing.
I can say it for Broadsgiving.
No, if there's a signing component.
I don't actually know sign language.
No, we don't really know sign language.
Although I've always really wanted to learn ASL.
Well, you have a week too, so get on that.
Our friend was telling Shani and I a story yesterday about how she works at a library, and there was like a
school library.
A school library, and there was like an assembly in it for sophomores, was it? And they had a speaker from a local church.
From a local, like, crazy religious group, because public school, but I guess we can invite the religious people. Whatever.
So,
well, as long as you invite everybody.
Yeah. The preacher there from the, or speaker, was teaching them about abstinence. And they went through, you know, who, let's see. Why don't I just read some of this? Starts out by asking the kid what the kids think is the definition of safe sex. They say using condoms, getting tested for STDs. And he says the only definition of safe sex is between a virgin man and a virgin woman within the confines of marriage. Then he says that sex includes vaginal, anal, oral, and quote-unquote mutual masturbation.
Which, like, riddle me this. How exactly is there any risk for STD or pregnancy involved in mutual masturbation?
That's not the point. You're burying my lead here. This is why I was elected to tell the story. Okay, so yes, I'm skipping down through Shandy saying almost those exact words via this message.
There was some all caps. I was very angry.
There was.
That guy can go fuck himself, for the record.
Yeah, Shandy says go fuck yourself.
So, she said, the worst / best part of this past hour was that the sign language interpreters were there, so they had to sign all of this stuff, like mutual masturbation. And they're sweet. These sweet ladies in their 50s.
Do you think this is the sign for mutual masturbation?
I think so. I
hope it is.
I was just picturing, like, these old ladies going like this. Right, and like, right, anal. I
mean, mine was very phallic. Let's do a...
Yeah, this just kind of looks like you're trying to do cocktail.
No, you got it. No, it's probably this, right? Oh, I'm sorry, guys. This wasn't live. Oh, well.
Ask us about it next week. We might show you.
Yeah. All right.
No, but then everyone's going to get, like, screen grabs of us going.
That's very true. And there'll be GIFs. It'll be on the internet. So we don't want that.
Yeah, all no, right. I can have that.
So
I know. All of our 10 people that will be watching.
I hope that you all enjoyed this episode today. We were serious and funny. We came full circular. We'll see you next, hopefully Monday at 9. Thank you to the patrons. If you'd like to become a patron, you can check out patreon.com/jandjack. Please consider becoming a patron. We would love to have you. No, we would really appreciate it, though. If you can't become a patron, or if you're just so inclined anyway, you shop your Amazon Black Friday is coming up. I know it starts on the 17th. If you can set your homepage to amazons.com, I'm sorry, jandjack.com/Amazon, all lowercases. Once again, thanks to the patrons, especially Ed the Creepy Funny Mailman, Tech from Tokyo, Molly the Millennial, and Eckhart. Thank you guys so much. We will see you on Monday. Thanks. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, guys. And Shandy says,
go fuck yourself. Or do some mutual masturbation. Fuck each other.